Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. So today on the Voice of Yoga, we will discuss the perfection of being as the role of the causal spiritual body. In this show, we will discuss terms like the heart as the rightful position of the human mind as an avenue of awareness. Listen as Swami explains the various levels of awareness available to every individual at any given moment. Perfection is the English equivalent for the term purna, meaning whole. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. So Swami, I'm looking at a written works here by Joel S. Goldsmith, and this is entitled The Heart of Mysticism. And I have here that perfection he describes as being completeness, harmony, health, and joy. So how does that relate to our summary of the program talking about perfection of being?
Well, I think where we want to start to go with this is that in our program, we work with a formula: how we think is what we become. And when you're trying to understand that we have options, that in Kriya Yoga, we use a three-body system. There's a physical body, there's an astral mental body, and there's a causal spiritual body. In physics, they break it down that underlying matter is energy, and underlying energy is the void. Now, what we started to understand was that these were dimensions of reality, and they have different frequencies, they have different returns. And two of those dimensions, the physical and the astral mental, are what are referred to as dualistic. Things are in half. And the causal spiritual body, that's the unified state. So when you're talking about perfection, the term purna means whole. And so spirit comes under the jurisdiction of the absolute. It was in quantum physics, they call it the void, but they also call it non-locality. It's that dimension of reality where everything is happening at once. And that's what we equate with spirit. And so the benefit of identifying ourselves with spirit starts to reveal itself, because one of the goals of yoga is this whole thing of total consciousness, is that there's this innate drive in all of us that we want to be whole, we want to be complete people. But if we draw from duality, which is a divided consciousness, which is a reality that is apart from the unified state, you're drawing from a resource that will not give you the return that you're looking for, which is to be whole. And so when we do draw from the lower realms or the lower mind, however you want to describe your level of consciousness here, if you're drawing from duality, you're drawing from the law of karma. You're drawing from a belief in two powers. And as you start to rise in consciousness and you get out of that cycle of death and rebirth, you get out of that karmic pattern, then you start to get into spiritual law. And spirit is the law of one power. It is unity consciousness. And in the realms of spirit, the absolute, there are no opposing forces. So here's where you start to get this whole thing of what true peace is.
So there's a quote in these works that I wanted to talk to you about, and I'll just read the last half of it, and it says, God alone is the source of all being. God alone is the soul, the purity and the perfection of all being. So how do we go from what you're talking about, the getting out of the law of karma, to becoming this perfection of all being, to becoming godlike?
Well, it all comes down to what we're identifying with. And in the practice and in the process of yoga, what we're basically trying to do is we're trying to separate our consciousness from being body-bound aware, or even from being hijacked by the lower mind. And we're trying to relink it with this unified state, with the absolute. And that's what yoga means. It means union. And the way that we translate that is you train your mind to serve spirit and you train your body to receive that image. In that practice, with repetition comes absorption, because you're dealing with what we call cellular memory. You're dealing with a pattern that has been recorded. And when you're dealing with the lower mind and the conditions that we place upon that, it can become a huge barrier for us to seeing the absolute, for seeing the very subtle force of causal spiritual dimension. With regard to the actual practice, you're basically trying to train your mind to look for something that's invisible and intangible. It's a very difficult catch. In the framework of the practice of yoga, we recognize that. But what we do is we know that our number one life-sustaining force is thought. Your number two life-sustaining force is breath. Now, even though thought is invisible but tangible, breath is invisible but tangible. And so using breath as a symbol that is associated with the feeling that we would use to validate ourselves gives us something that we can internalize, and we can practice that so that you kind of have a go-to for validation that is going to be readily available to you, as available to you as your next breath. Now, even though breath isn't your number one life-sustaining force, thought is. But the minute you start to elevate breath to a position of importance that it warrants in your value system, you're now changing how you think. And by changing your hierarchy of needs and internalizing them in a correct format, then you will eliminate the possibilities of any kind of confusion, which is typically what happens in a lot of panic-type situations where people are looking for something that is not available but is also not necessary, but they're responding as if they're in danger because it's not there. So working with this fundamental practice of using what you need, your number one need, as a symbol for validation is where I would say that you would begin with this practice.
Well, I know I've been talking a lot about lately as looking at ourselves as being made in God's image. So therefore, wouldn't we already have that God perfection within us?
Well, yeah, that's how it starts to happen. But the unfortunate thing is that because of the nature of our first birth, or our birth into conscious or into material form, is that that birth comes with a pattern. We are kind of controlled by the laws of karma, and part of that is survival, preservation. When we first incarnate, the instinct that we have is that we typically look for approval, for validation. Because as an infant, if somebody out there doesn't like us, then we're not going to make it because we can't fend for ourselves. And so that's part of the infrastructure or the instinctual pattern that we come in with. And that's where initiation comes in. That's where this whole thing of baptism comes in the religious community. We have to be taught how to separate from that pattern. But then in the framework of doing this, we want to join or rejoin our identity with the availability of what we really do need, our number one need. So most of this is really happening in consciousness. But the way it plays out is that, like you said, we're already spiritual. We already have a causal spiritual body. But what we don't have is we don't have that in its rightful place of awareness with relation to our mind, and especially the lower mind. And that's typically what has to happen because nothing really happens. We do not spiritualize matter. All we do is we uncover the simple fact that we already are spiritual. But what's reporting in our senses is typically an appearance, a concept that comes out of the lower mind and the workings of the lower mind in relation to what is being televised from the cosmic mind or the collective consciousness. So a lot of this is really smoke and mirrors. One of the things that I've always said was that life is this one giant mind game, and that's exactly what it is. So nothing's really happening other than the simple fact that we are changing how we think. And we're changing how we perceive ourselves. And we're going from material values and material understanding into this spiritual sense of selfhood.
And we've been working with the phrase, thinking with God as God. And it kind of reminded me of that as you were speaking.
Yeah, that's an important part of the whole thing is just trying to understand, what is this going to look like when I'm actually doing it? Because it can get very confusing. Because most of us are accustomed to thinking with the lower mind, which is basically our ability to form thoughts and opinions based on the testimony of our senses, based on the input of information that comes through duality. But to understand ourselves spiritually, we must understand how to speak the language of spirit, which is unity, which is the absolute, and it's dealing in terms of wholeness. That doesn't work in the lower mind. So we have to develop soul faculty. We have to develop spiritual understanding or spiritual capabilities. In order to do this successfully, we have to start to understand ourselves spiritually, which means we have to look at ourselves in the image and likeness of the divine. And all of the things that are of divine qualities must be things that are associated with our sense of who we are. Because if there is discord, if what we think we are and what we really are not lining up, and we are not demonstrating spiritual qualities, then there's something that is out of sync with regard to how we are perceiving ourselves. And so thinking with God as God kind of gives us a way of putting ourselves in the driver's seat. That really isn't something that is done with human will or mental imagery or anything like that. It's basically aligning ourselves with the will of God, and then letting divine law basically govern us. Once we put that in place, then we are thinking with God as God. And I think one of the major benefits of wanting to do that is when you're thinking with God as God, you have the benefit of infallibility, because God is complete, whole, and perfect. And everything is backed by the creative principle. Whereas anything that is not like God is not backed by principles. So it really has no power.
Well, I think this is a great place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we will be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I found a nice paragraph that I'd like to recite from The Workings of the Heart of Mysticism. And it says, acknowledge God as the all-knowing spiritual intelligence. Rest in the truth that it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Relax in the assurance of God's grace. Cease being a beggar. Desist from demanding of God. Call a halt to telling God of your needs. Rest, relax, rejoice. In Him we truly live, then live in Him. His fullness is our completeness. His perfection is our wholeness. So I really like that last line, His perfection is our wholeness, since this radio talk show is living from the perfection of being. I thought that that might be pretty appropriate to open up the second half of this show.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Our spiritual identity, our identifying with this dimension of our makeup that is whole and complete, is what this term perfection really means. In the framework of becoming perfect, one of the laws I think that is pretty consistent in the spiritual sciences is that it is impossible to maintain two different levels of consciousness simultaneously. So in other words, we can't be spiritually minded and materially minded. And in the framework of understanding ourselves and being able to demonstrate these different recommendations, we really have to give up our preoccupation with the material world, with sensual perception. That's a tall order for a lot of us. And in Kriya Yoga, we have the fifth stage of yoga, which is called Pratyahara. And it's not something that is well known in the spiritual or in the yoga community, period. But Pratyahara marks a phase in development where we separate our identity from sensual perception. If you really cross-examine it, there's a lot of preparatory work that must be in place in order for us to actualize this, to be able to demonstrate that in your real life experiences. But that's what I like about Kriya Yoga, is that it has all of this in place, that you really don't have to invent or reinvent the wheel. Being able to give up our attachment to things visible and tangible, and even things invisible but tangible, isn't really an easy task unless you have a good plan in place. One of the things that you'll find is that reconnecting an individual with the divine is not abstaining. See, one of the misconceptions is that we're giving up something. Because we're giving up a lot of the pleasures that we associate with the senses and the world, we kind of feel like we're losing. It really isn't a loss, because what basically is going to happen is, if you do it correctly, it will be a substitution. Rather than using something that is visible and tangible or invisible and tangible as a source of validation, you're now upgrading and you're going to use what is invisible and intangible, but it will produce the same internal experience initially on a fundamental level. The major difference is when you use this invisible, intangible source, when you use divine law and divine love as your symbol for validation, it initiates a progressive cycle in consciousness of the individual. And so there are enormous benefits that come with it. And you basically are able to let go of the reins so that you're not going to be grinding things out with human will and mental means, but you're basically going to be just aligning yourself with this divine mind, with this consciousness that holds the template for perfect creation. And all we really have to do is hold our attention on that, acknowledge the presence of it, understand it, adore it, and have a sense of gratitude for it. But you really have to get out of the way of it, because it is infallible, because it is perfect creation. There isn't anything humanly that we could do to assist it or help it in its function.
So we may have some listeners out there that may be curious to know, well, how do I know that what I'm feeling at this moment is divine love, and I'm not just thinking that I feel divine love?
Yeah, these are things that you really have to start to be able to demonstrate what you're doing. And that's one of the things I keep referring back to, the work that Mary Baker Eddy did with Christian Science, because what she basically did was she put healing on the table. And if you can heal, if you can heal the sick and reform sinners by recognizing the presence of divine law in your consciousness, then you know that what you're doing is in bedrock. Now, you're 100% right in questioning this, because there are an infinite number of ways that this is going to go wrong. And there's really only one way that it can go right. And so by putting demonstration on the table and taking small steps and using some of the practices that you're starting to learn to just be able to test the integrity of what it is that you're doing is what I would recommend. Just like when a blacksmith is making a sword or a knife, they spend endless hours in cutting, shaping, tempering, polishing steel. But it's really not until the moment that they ring it on the anvil do they really know if all of the time and effort that they put in that, if it's going to be worthy. And so the same is kind of true with the yogi. because we can be practicing endless hours. And when it comes time for demonstration, you find that nothing's working. It's very common that that happens because there are so many different variables that are at work here and so many different ways that it can go wrong. If you have good instruction and you have good leadership, I think it's helpful. And then, like I say, if you start right from the onset, start trying to demonstrate. One of the common things is people say, well, they see somebody that is in some sort of trouble or discord or condition, and they say, I'm praying for you. If audible prayer isn't working, then one of the things that you might want to start to do is you may want to start to revisit what you call praying. Because in Kriya Yoga, praying is more P-R-E-Y, it's more of a communion with the divine than it is audible prayer. But an individual's communion with the divine elevates their consciousness. It moves their identity into this spiritual sense of selfhood, and that should start to have an effect on other people. And as you start to employ that and enlist that and demonstrate that, then you'll start to know that what you're doing is working.
So by us demonstrating the divine qualities, that will in turn also assist us into attaining that level of divine consciousness?
Yeah, and another really important thing is how we perceive others is of the utmost importance. One of the things that we always say is what surrounds us is within us. So as you're trying to start to understand yourself spiritually, you really want to start to plug into that like attracts like. You have to know yourself in the way that you're known by the divine, which means you must understand yourself spiritually. And as you start to understand yourself spiritually, you will start to look for those divine characteristics in everyone that's out there. And then what starts to happen is that you're starting to see the presence of the divine in the appearances of things that hold a shadow of the presence of the divine. But what's happening is that you're holding the presence of divine in your own consciousness. That will have an effect not only on you, but also on those that you are observing. That's why this whole thing of namaste is really so powerful. And especially when you employ it as a practice.
It reminds me of that saying, you know, do unto others as you would do unto yourself, because as you do unto others, you are doing it to yourself. If we are all made in God's perfection and we use the frame, the namaste, the same soul that animates me animates you. So if I say or think or do something to someone else, I'm actually doing it to myself.
Well, that's true. I mean, the same soul that animates you animates me, and what I'm putting out is what I'm doing to myself. And I think the major variable here is that when you have this union with the divine, you like yourself. So that is very different than those out there that dislike themselves and are involved in destructive behavior because of that. But when you have this internal connection with spirit, and you have this feeling of bliss, wonder, and awe in your inner environment, then you're really careful about how you're treating others and also how you're seeing them. Because that's an important part in your personal development.
Well, I think it's about that time you just start closing down our show for this morning. So listeners, I invite you out there to visit. The website is www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're there, there are many tools there that you can select to continue your learning experiences. And please don't forget to keep an eye out and listen for our show that we do on Wednesdays on Facebook. We have a Facebook Live episode that we do on at 5 o'clock on Wednesday. And so with that, be sure to tune in next week. I'm sure we'll have another great program for you. So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I do wish everybody success with living out from the perfection of their own being, their own spiritual selfhood. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda. We'll be signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.